Well, it's Christmas Eve, and I guess the question is, have you finished your shopping yet? Because if not, I understand you can probably get some bargains at Wawa or Royal Farms, something like that on the way home. Now, think about it. Royal Farms chicken, that's a great Baptist gift, right? So, anyway, there's your suggestion in case you haven't finished. Well, during the month of December, we've been looking at a sermon series entitled Times of Christmas. And tonight I want to conclude this series by looking at a time of love. As I thought about the different biblical characters within the Christmas story itself, Joseph revealed a tremendous amount of love. Now, Joseph is the forgotten man when it comes to Christmas in many ways. I mean, we talk a lot about Mary. We talk about baby Jesus. We even think a lot about the angels and the shepherds. And even at times, the wise men seem to play a greater role than that of Joseph. We never really hear Joseph speak. Actually, in all of the Bible, Joseph never says a word. What do we find, though, in Scripture concerning the love of Joseph and his relationship with Mary? What can this relationship then teach us here at Christmas? Well, a young man said to his father at breakfast one morning, he said, "Dad, I'm going to get married." And the father said, "Are you in love?" And he said, "I sure am." "Well, how do you know that you are in love?" He said, "Well, last night I was kissing my girlfriend goodnight. Her dog bit me, and I didn't feel the pain until I got home." Well, there's a lot more to love than feeling no pain from a dog bite. Well, our scripture that we're going to look at tonight comes from Matthew, the first chapter. And we begin this evening with verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." Well, the first thing I want you to see this evening is that love is commitment. It's commitment. Mary was most likely, as we talked about in this series, most likely between the ages somewhere around 12 to 14 years of age. That sounds astonishing young to us, but it was typical in that day and time for 12 to 14 to be the marrying age for females. On the other hand, males were typically 18 to 20 years of age. So most likely Joseph is 6+ years older than Mary. Little is written about Joseph. It's believed, of course, that he died before Jesus even began his ministry. We know, though, that Joseph was devoted to his family. And one of the things he did was he taught his family trade to his family, especially to Jesus. We know that Jesus was a carpenter just like his father. I have this painting in my office of the scene. We have Joseph there at the carpentry bench and toddler Jesus down there on the floor next to him. It pictures this relationship of father and son and Joseph, the devoted family man. We also know that they had several other children. Mary and Joseph had other children within the family. Jesus had many half-brothers and sisters. But Joseph demonstrated commitment and the love needed to have that strong commitment. Joseph and Mary were in what's called the betrothal period. Today we call it engagement, but it's much, much stronger than an engagement period. In a betrothal period, you were promised in such a way to each other that even though you weren't married yet, if you decided to break up, you had to get a divorce, even though you haven't had the wedding day yet. During betrothal, Joseph, would be preparing a future home for he and his bride. He would be getting that ready while Mary would be getting herself ready for the wedding and preparing for that wedding day. But neither during this period would be allowed to see the other person. You made this commitment to someone that you possibly wouldn't even see for a whole year. You committed yourself to the other person for this year, where you were actually, in legal terms, husband and wife, even though you have not lived together or been together yet. Joseph was committed to his marriage. Look at verse 19 and forward. It said, "And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame." Why put her to shame? Because we just learned that she's pregnant and it's not from Joseph. "Put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, but that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.'" Well, for Joseph, not only is love commitment, but love is also righteousness. Joseph has been away from Mary for this time period. Word gets back to Joseph that Mary is pregnant. Put yourself in Joseph's place at this point in time. What is going through your mind when the girl that you are getting ready to marry, you have not been around for a while, and all of a sudden you receive this news that she is pregnant? But Joseph, in the midst of this, revealed a love that is righteous. What does that even mean? What does it mean to have a righteous love, or a love that is righteousness? Righteousness means to be virtuous, to be morally upright. Simple answer, do the right thing. Joseph learned that this girl that he has committed his love to, this girl that he was to marry, is pregnant. And then, of all things, she has this strange story, a visit from an angel. This is God's child. She's never had sex. I mean, to Joseph, it had to be, it doesn't make any sense. I love her, but I have to do the right thing. And for me to marry her is highly inappropriate. How in the world am I going to trust her in the future? But I do love her. Scripture describes Joseph as a righteous man. Now, don't confuse that with self-righteous. Self-righteous is when we kind of make up our own rule book to make ourselves look better than other people. True righteousness is having a faith in what is right in God's sight. If someone committed adultery during this betrothal period, in that day and time, in Joseph's day, the way to handle that was to get a divorce. But there were two different ways that you could divorce someone in this time period. And this is what Joseph is mulling over. One of those ways is what's known as public divorce. In other words, you just kind of put it out there in the open. You let all the officials know what has taken place. You break this tie and you let her deal with the shame of it all. Oh, she might even be stoned, put to death by stoning because of it. But look at what she's done. But see, Joseph is thinking more the lines of a private divorce. He can officially divorce her just in the presence of two or three witnesses. There's no real public outcry. This was not an easy decision either, to divorce, but at least it was privately and shows compassion toward her. and shows his ability to love in righteousness. Oh, I imagine that night when Joseph is having his dream, and it's a restless night as he's trying to get to sleep. He's tossing to and fro, and he's thinking over this decision of divorcing Mary. He falls asleep, and then he too has a visit by an angel in his dream. The angel calls him Son of David, meaning that Joseph was of the line of the King David. Just like Mary, just like the shepherds, Joseph was told not to be afraid, but in this case, he's told not to be afraid for a much different reason. Mary and the shepherds were told not to be afraid at just the sudden sight of an angel. In this case, the angel was telling Joseph not to be afraid to marry Mary. He was told that Mary's story is very, very true. Her conception of this child was by the doing of the Holy Spirit, not because of some man's doing. And Joseph was given some instructions. He said, "You will call this child Jesus." Jesus was a very common name in that day. Very common. Actually, it derived earlier from the name, early in Jewish history, of Joshua. But Jesus is our English derivation of that name. In Joseph's day, in his language, the Hebrew and Aramaic that was spoken, the word really would have been Yahshua. Name him Yahshua. Yahshua means Yahweh saves. God saves. Well, we're then reminded of something from Isaiah, the 7th chapter, verse 14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." What's so special about this verse? What really hits home about this verse? Isaiah the prophet wrote these words 700 years before Jesus arrived on the scene. 700 years earlier, this prophet spoke these words, wrote down these words, and in these words he said, there's going to be a time when a virgin is going to become pregnant, and she's going to bear a son, and that son is going to be God with us, the meaning of Emmanuel. Mary became that virgin who has a son, who is God with us. You know, righteous love can be seen as what we used to call tough love. Tough love. It's doing the right thing, even though sometimes it may hurt. At first, Joseph's love led to him leading to a private divorce, protecting Mary, but it was still a divorce. But the angel told Joseph that really the right thing in this case was to marry her, because Mary had not done anything wrong. Mary had not committed adultery. Mary had not deceived Joseph in any way. True love is commitment. True love is righteousness, meaning to do the right thing, the moral thing, the godly thing, even when it leads to difficult decisions in life. But there's one more lesson here on love. Matthew verses 24 and 25 in chapter 1. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Love is also sacrificial. Sacrificial. The love witnessed here in this story is an unconditional sacrificial love. Unconditional means there's no strings attached. I just love you because of who you are, not because you've done certain things. Joseph is obedient. He moves forward with this marriage. And you might think, well, how big of a deal is that? How is that sacrificial? I mean, after all, the angel told him to do this. What's so sacrificial? Just because God sent his angel to step in does not mean that the situation was easy. Nazareth, the town that they live in, is a very, very small village. gossip is going to fly like crazy. It's going to be impossible to keep Mary's pregnancy a secret. And then most likely two different accusations are going to take place. You're going to have some who are going to start pointing fingers at Joseph and say, Joseph, you broke your betrothal vows. You got that girl pregnant before you were married. There's going to be that side of it. And then there are going to be others who are going to look at Joseph and point fingers at Mary and say, Joseph, you're a fool. You're a fool for marrying her. She betrayed you, Joseph. You're a fool. Imagine how people jump to conclusions. We do it all the time, don't we? We don't know the full facts and we jump to conclusions. Life was not going to be simple for this young couple. In part, though, with this birth taking place in Bethlehem instead of Nazareth, it was in many ways a blessing for this couple. This is the first time ever since they went to Bethlehem because of taxes, okay? They had to go and pay taxes. This has to be one of the first times that there's a blessing from paying taxes. They got away from the little town of Nazareth. It took them away from the gossipy village. And then even after the birth, when Herod heard that a king had been born, and he was intimidated by it, and he wanted that baby put to death, so he sent out a death sentence for babies in the town of Bethlehem. And so they fled at that point down to Egypt to get out of town. That too was in many ways a blessing for this couple. But let's look at it another way. Joseph is going to be the father of someone else's child. And I know that happens quite often, but not usually the child is God's son. You become the instant father of God's son. Do you think he felt pressure at all? What can I teach God's son? How can I lead this family with all this controversy that just swarming all around us? But Joseph put aside self and put on sacrificial love. This passage of scripture goes on to say that they were immediately married. They didn't wait till the end of the betrothal period. They immediately were married. Joseph stepped up to the plate. Joseph was a wonderful example of sacrificial love. But what does this Christmas story teach us? We need to understand that love is not a feeling. See, that's how the world really messes up this term. It always wants love to be a feeling, but love is an action. Love is an action. And when you need to make a decision, when you need to take an action, think on that thought you see up on the screen. When unsure of what to say or do, ask what love requires of you. When you're unsure of what to say or do, ask what love requires of you. You'll always make the right decision when you make it out of sacrificial love. What does love require? Well, it's our three thoughts. Love is commitment. If we're not committed in our relationships, we will not show love. That includes our family, that includes our church, and most important, our commitment to God. But in reverse, if we love Jesus, we will reveal our commitment. There will be a strong devotion to seeking God's will. Love is commitment. Love is righteousness. We should always desire to do what is right. But let's face it, we have moments where we may have confusion like Joseph. Joseph had confusing moments there at the beginning where he didn't have all the facts. But we're told in Scripture that obedience or righteousness and love are one and the same. 1 John 5:2-3 says, "This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God, carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome." You know, we look into Scriptures and we see all these commands, but then Jesus one day said, "Let me make it easy on you on knowing the commands. Let me narrow it down to two commands, and if you keep both of these commands, you're keeping them all. The first one is love God. The second is love others. If we have a sacrificial love for God, if we have a sacrificial for loving others, then it covers all the commands. How do we show love? We obey, or we be righteous. The candle that we lit tonight is the candle of truth, or the Christ candle. All love, all truth are found in Jesus Christ. Love is righteous, but also love is sacrificial. If life is all about me, you know what? I don't really love. If life is all about me. To find true love, I must sacrifice for others. Joseph sacrificed for his bride. Jesus exemplified it in his life and in his death, the sacrifice for each one of us. To truly understand love, we must remove the selfishness from our lives, because love is sacrificial. William Gladstone was a four-term prime minister of England. In 1878, he had to make an announcement before the House of Commons that was a very sad event. He had to announce the death of Princess Alice. Sometime before that, leading up to that point, Princess Alice had a little daughter who was seriously ill. Her daughter had diphtheria. And in that day and time, diphtheria was a highly contagious bacterial infection, usually leading to death. The doctors told Princess Alice, "Whatever you do, do not kiss your little daughter, because it could endanger your own life and you may acquire this infection." Well, one day, her little daughter was struggling to breathe. Princess Alice took the child in her arms to keep her from choking, and she was rasping and struggling for her life. And the child looked up at her mother, at Princess Alice, and said, "Mommy, kiss me." And without thinking of herself, the mother tenderly kissed her daughter. Wasn't too long afterwards, Princess Alice got diphtheria. And on this day, William Gladstone was announcing to the House of Commons that she had gone home to be with Jesus. Real love is commitment. Real love is righteousness, or doing the right thing. But real love is sacrificial when we forget about ourselves and we think about others first. This is a time of love. Real love, of course, is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus is life. Jesus is the light. And the reason why the last candle in Christmas is the Christ candle. In just a few moments, we're going to have a candle lighting ceremony. Before that, though, when we're going to have a special concerning the song Silent Night, but let me give you some instructions, because we don't want people to get burnt or to get wax on themselves. So there's a special way when it comes to lighting of the candles. In a little bit, I am going to light my candle from the Christ candle, and our deacons are going to be coming forward, and I'm going to light each one of their candles. They are then going to come out to you and to the end of each aisle and light the candles going down. But this is what you do. When your candle is lit, always hold it this way. Never hold a lit candle this way, okay? If your candle is not lit, you can hold it this way. But lit candles stay straight up and down, okay? Just remember that. It'll keep a lot of people from being burned. Before we do this, we're going to have a prayer in just a moment. But we have a special presentation concerning Silent Night, which will be explained. And it's the 200th anniversary of Silent Night. After the special part of it, and we light all the candles, and we're going to ask you to join in the singing of Silent Night with us. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have that special time, that Silent Night special. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, God saves, Yahweh saves. And Father, because of that, we can have eternal life because of your sacrificial love that you have for us. Father, pray that as we spend this time in lighting candles and thinking about Silent Night, what a special thing it is, because Father, your Son is the light of the world, but he also said that we become the light. We share the light with others of Jesus Christ. And may this be a picture this evening as we share this time of sharing the light of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus with others. Lord, may your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.